The New Life, 104.7 and 1570 AM.
Our political town hall coverage continues of the elections of 2010. We're on the line right now with Amsterdam Congressman Paul Tonko. He is a Democrat. He's a candidate for re-election. His Republican opponent and Congressman Tonko debated last night on a public television. So I got a lot of the material from that to ask questions. If you have a question for Paul Tonko, he's here for about 10 or 15 minutes. Our number is 684-0123. Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Bob. How are you?
Okay.
The best to you and your listeners on a soggy Friday.
Indeed. The economy seems to be the focus of both you and your opponent. Ted Danz says he doesn't think this stimulus package has worked. He thinks that tax cuts are more important than what you're doing with the federal largesse for various programs. What's your opinion?
Well, you know, I think rather than even share my opinion, I'll go to an independent source, Mark Zandi, who is the former chief economist to Senator McCain, who, as we know, was the candidate for president against the president, President Obama. And he has indicated with his thinking that had we not done the stimulus package, we would have lost another 8 million jobs. And that's the thinking of many economists. And so while we did lose 8.2 million jobs through the Bush years, and we bottomed out in March of 2009, just like 8 weeks into this administration, it has been a forever swing upward. And we've had 9 consecutive months of private sector job growth, Bob. So that translates to some 863,000 jobs.
Mm.
That, to me, is certainly not good enough. But we're on the pace to gain over a million jobs in this given year. And that's more than all of the 8 years combined during the Bush presidency. So, you know, I think we're moving in the right direction. And that was the theme last night about backward forward. Do we want to reach to the failed policies of the past and go backward as a nation, or do we want to continually grow with the obvious progress we've achieved and move forward?
All right. I understand what you're saying, but politically, I mean, it has been 2 years that you've been in office and President Obama's been in office, and in terms of the voters, I think if we did a question this week on the show, is the recession over? And then nobody would step up to the plate and say, yes. I mean, people still feel things are bad. So you're in charge now, you and your party.
Right.
And so I would say it does appear that Democrats are going to take a real drubbing in the elections this year.
Well, and that's not an unfamiliar pattern for off-year elections. But I think, look, it took forever. There was a lot of mismanagement over a long period of time with this economy, and it didn't happen overnight, and it's not going to be resolved overnight. The issue is we have stopped the bleeding. There's every telltale indicator that we've stopped the bleeding, and now, obviously, the growth upward, the growth out of this recession is slow. It's slow, but it's positive. And I think that, you know, now is the time that we've been reinventing the economy, building on the high-tech disciplines that are coming into this region. They're now starting to cluster. I think that's a strengthener that we have now. And just weeks ago, the president signed into law the $30 billion small business bill that opens up the credit flow for our small businesses. We have been hearing, Bob, from a number of businesses in this region already in the ensuing 2 weeks or 3 weeks that have followed that bill signing. We have already heard from people that now have a little more freedom at their place, at their shop, at their small business because of that credit line assistance. So, you know, there are a number of things that we have to do. And again, this whole issue of the recession was a huge impact. It was the worst economic times in 70 plus years since the Great Depression. And so magically it would be nice to, you know, just exponentially rise out of that. But we have been growing upward and forward with the policies of the last year and a half or two.
And
I think that they're the right policies.
I'm going to move on to health care.
Sure.
It's either the signal achievement of the past 2 years of the Obama administration and Democrats in Congress or an unmitigated disaster, which is what your opponent says. And your opponent and other Republicans say they're going to repeal it.
Right, and that is the effort. That's what I would call a backward motion rather than forward.
What can you tell us? I mean, what good has it done?
Okay, here's another, you know, this is a bill that was approved earlier this year that is folded in over the course of several years. And so what they want is, again, this instant success. I have called upon Secretary Sebelius to clarify any of the impacts of the health care bill on rates in 10 and 11. And there is absolutely nothing in the reform that would cause rates to rise. And I would suggest that while these companies are raising their rates, they're also enjoying record profits. And so there has been this attempt across the country with HHS, with the Health and Human Services Agency that Secretary Sebelius heads. They are watching all of this activity and denying some of these increases. But the important thing is that we began with a foundation that has been approved in law. We have seen some of the reforms come into place. The 27-year-olds or under are now able to be on the family policy. Some the seniors who have exceeded the donut hole have received their payment. We're going to continually cut away and finally fill that whole donut hole by 2020. The exchange starts in 2014, I believe. That will enable small businesses to pool their insurance activity. Like if they have 5 employees or 10 employees, they will be able to join millions of employees so that they will be actuarially rated based on millions of people, not 5. One person in 5, Bob, getting catastrophically ill will cause havoc in the rates you pay. By the way, small business on average pays 18% more than industry. So Ted Danz talking about this as a no progress issue, he's citing an increase by an insurance company that took advantage of the headlines when there was nothing in that bill that required him to raise rates, and again, they're sitting on record profits. And for him to talk about his rates going up is exactly the reason. It was the motivation to do the bill. And the progress that will be struck is we will be able to have our small business community join with others in a pool. And it won't be a government-run pool. It will be a private sector solution where private sector insurance companies will fight for the right to serve the needs of the uninsured and underinsured. Mm. So it is like totally misrepresented in the comments that he made.
Congressman Paul Tonko with us on the morning show, the town hall, talking about politics. He is a candidate for re-election. Let's move over to social issues.
Sure.
I'm not sure I had seen this before. Maybe you have said it before. But I believe in the debate last night, you came out in favor. Well, there's a couple of issues involving the gay community, gay marriage and the don't ask, don't tell policy. Where do
sure.
you stand on those?
Well, when I was still in the state assembly, had voted for marriage equity, which was taken up by the state assembly. You know that it's languished in the state senate. And I also on the don't ask, don't tell. Within our society, we have great diversity. And I think that our troops should reflect that diversity. And we're also having a tough time fielding enough people for a lot of the, for the military, especially in some of the specialty areas. We have a huge demand for linguists, for technology sophisticated, trained people. And so I think we shouldn't limit the efforts to recruit. And certainly, I think that we should go forward with this repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. I think it's the right thing to do. It's the fair thing to do. And a lot of the issues that surround the gay community are the civil rights issues of today.
Is there an issue that speaks directly to your district or our district, you know, the 21st Congressional District? I mean, or is it all about this really kind of national stuff because you're serving
in
national
office?
No, I think,
Bob, I think if I were to take one issue in this campaign and really personalize it to this district, it's the emphasis on the energy revolution, on the investment in the clean energy economy. There's no denying that the president came to this region because of our clustering that's happening here. In Oneida County, the state just invested in a huge high-tech situation that's energy-related. You know of all the work being done here with Global Foundries, with Superpower, with the nanosciences and the semiconductor industry. Well, we've got the bookends in the capital region and Oneida County. We in the Mohawk Valley, I think, are going to become that energy zone. We just saw Fulton Montgomery Community College get the federal money that I fought for their clean room technology center. And so they're going to be training people in a very specific way for the clean room activity. So I think this area is now one of the hottest properties in the country for the clustering that's happening here. And I think it's going to be our new energy revolution because we are, the 21st Congressional District, is the birthplace of electricity. The whole energy discovery is, you know, birthed here in this district, and I think it's going to be this new wave of energy thinking and energy generation and energy jobs that will be created in the same exact area. And I think of all the issues, this is the one that really hits home.
Let me maybe a couple of political questions.
Sure.
If I mean, your district, you know, they say, was pretty much set up for Democrats, but on the other hand, Republicans seem to be the ones energized this year.
Right.
Are you concerned about that?
Well, you know, I'm always concerned about any election, and I take the case right to the people that I'm asking to place me in office. And so while there's a concern that there may be more energy level on one side of the political fence, it just requires you to work all the harder to make certain your message is understood and that your votes are not just a simple yes or no or black and white, but how you arrive at your votes, a story that needs to be dialogued with the people that you hope will choose you as their representative.
Okay.
But I will say this. I think candidate Palladino has now energized my side of the political fence and de-energized his side, where many people are saying, "Is if this is what the offering was." I mean, I just saw the latest poll, for instance, for Long Island that came out, I think, with the Siena poll, and it's like 3-1 for Cuomo over Palladino. So you're going to start seeing a huge growth in the shift now of people in this last week because of the disparaging comments that have been made and the acts to divide rather than unite us as a society. And right now we need to come together politically because there's so many things that need to be driven by consensus. There is a sense of urgency, and we can't drag our feet.
One more point, again, about politics. Assuming you get reelected, but that the Democrats lose the House. I remember hearing an interview with Chuck Schumer saying that's why he ran for the Senate, because he said it's no fun being in the House when you're in the minority. And, you know, maybe fun's a light word. I don't know if he actually used that. But in other words, he was very frustrated. Will you be frustrated if the Republicans are in charge?
No, I don't think I should allow myself to get frustrated, Bob. I think, you know, I've served both in the majority and the minority. My efforts, if I go to Washington for a second term, and I hope that the district chooses to send me back, if I go back and serve in the minority, I will make every effort to make certain that our district continues to be given the opportunities and present the needs in a way that will be successful for them. Let me tell you, when I served in the minority, and certainly now, I would tell you what I've done with the minority. I have worked with the Representative Dent from Pennsylvania to set up a bipartisan caucus on heritage areas. And we reached out to him and asked him to join us so we could have a bipartisan, spirited outcome. I have reached out to the to Representative Hall from Texas, who is our ranker on science and technology. He has helped with many efforts that I've had. That's why I've got so many bills passed as a representative freshman, which is unheard of. But it was with the help of people like ranker Hall, who have helped us move bills out of committee. We've worked on Jason's Law, the trucker safety bill. We reached out to a representative from Minnesota so that we could show that, look, trucker safety isn't a Republican issue. It isn't a Democratic issue. It's a universal issue. And certainly when we address trucker safety, we're addressing motorist safety. So it's got this huge universal audience.
All right.
You know, people don't come to me and say, hey, I've got this Republican idea or Democratic idea. They give us a good idea. We don't care what brand or what definition is on it. It's a good idea. We're going to push for it.
Congressman Paul Tonko, thank you very much for joining us today.
Hey, Bob. My pleasure always. And to you and your listeners, have a great weekend.
You too.